Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
And I really believe with all my heart that the Lord wants us to encounter Him today. Amen. Amen. So I know that I have just probably a little shorter time in the first service than I do in the second service. So I want to just share with you quickly. When you don't see me, you'll probably see a whole lot more of my family than you will of me. I'm out on the road ministering. I travel 280 days plus a year sharing the gospel. So I have a lot of equity in my home. But it is very good to be around here now, because my schedule is winding down. Actually, this is my last speaking engagement for the rest of the year. But I'm booked right now into July of next year. So God's doing some great things. Our sons meeting, we have spiritual sons all over the nation, some from other parts of the world, and our sons ministry is really growing. How many realize that generations need the heart of a father to be turned to the heart of a son? Amen. How many realize that that's an Elijah-driven spirit? It's a prophetic spirit. Learning how the art of connecting generations. And the Lord called me to do that when I was right about 37. Of course, we have a nationwide intercessory prayer ministry. We have intercessors in 26 different states now, two different geographical locations with two different call lines, and we're just believing God for a prayer movement, or we're going to join ranks with prayer movements. We're not trying to start anything unique. I mean, but we just believe in the power of prayer. How many realize you can't expect anything to change until you pray? Because prayer will change your heart, and then when your heart gets changed, then your attitude gets changed. So I tell my sons all the time, you can have an attitude, you just can't keep it. Amen. So our prayer movement is really gaining a lot of momentum. We're believing God for all 50 states. But today I have an opportunity to be able to share with you. So thank you, fellas. Thank you for the praise and worship this morning. Appreciate it so much. But let's jump right into this. And we're going to start in the 17th chapter of Luke. 17th chapter of Luke. And I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on something that I'd like to entitle The Power of Being Thankful. How many realize that we're getting ready to come into a Thanksgiving week? And I would just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. But I really believe with all my heart that born again, spirit-filled, blood-washed people should be the most thankful people on the face of the earth. Amen. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 17, and our text will begin in verse 11. I'll read all the way through verse 19, and then we'll go from there. Now it happened as he went, and I will tell you this, one thing I've learned about prayer is things are either happening while you are on your way to prayer or when you are coming from prayer. Yeah. And now it happened as he went to Jerusalem. How many realize that Jesus never went anywhere unless the Father sent him? That he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. Who were lepers. Who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him, everybody shout it with me, thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now that's the New King James Version. The King James actually uses the word whole. But let me share a couple of scriptures with you this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says that in everything, give thanks. How many realize it doesn't say for everything? But he said in everything. There's something about being thankful that enables you to keep unspotted from what the enemy is trying to stick you with. Amen. He said, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I just want to encourage you today that in the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus didn't deliver them from the fire. He joined them in the fire. And how many realize that they didn't come out smelling like smoke? In the life of Daniel, he didn't deliver Daniel from the lion's den. He joined Daniel in the lion's den. I want to encourage you that what God would have us understand today is that we need to be a people that are thankful before him, so that regardless of what we're facing, how we feel, what we're looking at, life cannot overrun us. Amen. You see, I believe this. I believe that in this small colony of lepers, there were a few of them that probably were married. But how many realize that because of the disease, it caused them or called them to be isolated from society? This is exactly what the enemy likes to do. He likes to try and isolate things. All right? I'm convinced that some of them were married. Some of them had children. Some of them had assets, and they were desperate about getting back to normal living. Amen. But because of their disease, they were required to live a separate life. Most people don't realize this about leprosy. We need to understand, and I want you to hear this. The evidence of an internal problem. See, everybody thinks leprosy, we get an instant picture. And we start looking at the decayed skin and fingers falling off and things of that sort. But we have to remember something, that the first thing that leprosy attacks is your voice box. Are you with me this morning? And most people don't realize it. So before the evidence of an internal problem begins to show itself, the first thing that happens is it begins to attack the voice box. Okay? You see, I feel that we as God's people have probably got enough mileage underneath our feet to know that God is for us and not against us. To know we probably got a few testimonies that God has turned into triumphs in our lives. And we probably already know that, yes, we find our way into some jams, but I'm thankful that there's a ram caught in the thicket in that jam. What I'm trying to tell you is he'll always provide an avenue escape for our lives. Amen and amen. You see, when you don't have anything that you feel you should be thankful for, just remember that you're no longer on your way to hell. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you are on your way to an eternal heaven. Maybe your finances are not looking the way you want them, or your marriage is not in the condition that you would like it to be in, or maybe you're not working the right job that you have ambitions for and plans and dreams about. But my friends, I encourage you, you've always got something to be thankful for because you are a child of God. Jesus has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've got a covenant package. You've got an insurance package. You can walk in health, and you can walk in healing, and you can walk in prosperity, and you can walk in the fruit of the Spirit. You've always got something to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. And there's going to be times where you're going to think. And let me just say this. Amos 3 and 3 says, how can two walk together lest they agree? So we've got to learn how to agree with some things. And there are going to be times in life that things are going to look bigger than they really are. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, when my mom went to heaven, I was thinking about it. She's been in heaven for 8 years now. But when my mom went to heaven, I didn't know that I was going to visit a number of different emotions. And if you'll put those up, fellas, I want to just touch on them real quick. One of the first things that I realized, that the seven things that grief will try and bring, I brought the notes to you, or had my son bring the notes to you. Well, let me just go on and share with you. The seven forms of grief, you'll find that you'll visit denial. You'll visit shock and sorrow and guilt and anger and depression and depression, and you'll try and come and wrap your brain around the acceptance factor that somebody's gone. But one thing I've learned is that the first year is normally the toughest year. You know, the first birthday, the first Thanksgiving, the first Christmas is always normally the toughest year. But I will tell you that in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, it says that we don't grieve as those that have no hope. You know, when my mom went to heaven, I had a dream 2 nights after she went to heaven. And in my dream, she, for the first 2 days that she was in heaven, all she did was explore before she met Jesus. She went everywhere in heaven before she met Jesus. And the day after, when I woke up and I went to check the mail the day after, I got a little book. My sister sent me a little book, a little thin book, of a woman's testimony about when she went to heaven. And in this book, she stated that the first 2 days of her existence in heaven, all she did was explore before she met Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I don't believe that that's coincidental to show up on my doorstep when it showed up. I believe it was confirmation. And we don't grieve as those that have no hope, is what I'm saying. Folks, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How many realize that one day every one of us is going to learn how to lose this earth suit? Are you listening? Okay? And I want to encourage you. You see, we are functioning from a place in our spirit man, in the position of a believer, that actually will, if we will let our spirit man be influenced by the Holy Spirit, our spirit man will influence our soul correctly. Okay? So I just exhort you there. I've met so many people across the nation over 39 years of preaching the gospel. One case particular, there's a pastor, and I'll never forget it because they called me and I could just hear horrendous screaming in the background, grieving and crying in the background. And what had happened is the pastor had a daughter that was dating somebody that she shouldn't have been involved with. Can I encourage you? Wait on your Boaz. Because if you don't wait on your Boaz, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get some relatives. All right. And these relatives might be cheap as. Yeah. Are you listening? These relatives might be broke as. These relatives might be drunk as. These relatives might be beat y'all as. Come on, amen. You don't want them kind of relatives showing up, do you? Are we okay? Amen. First time I probably caused you some trouble in your pulpit, and I do apologize. Oh, help him, Father. Amen. But what had happened is, I don't make light of this situation, but, and I don't know where all that came from, but anyways. What had happened is this young lady went to work like she normally did, and this young boy swung by her work, and he had a violent temper. Sorry, Bishop. And he grabbed this girl by the hair and drug her into the bathroom and shot her 5 times. And he saved one bullet for himself, but he didn't have the backbone to do it. Well, this grief attached itself to this family. And to this day, they can't bring themselves to sell her car, open her bedroom door. You know, life is there to try and bring us into its captivity. Jesus is here to deliver us. He's here to deliver the captives. Amen. And know there are going to be times in life where you're going to need somebody to stand with you. Are you listening? Amen. And when we stand with each other, what happens is we get back to and we go beyond a loud voice. Let me just show you this in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, let me exhort you. There will be times in our lives where people are going to have to be there to fight for us. Somebody that needs to be there to believe with us. Somebody that knows their authority in Christ. Someone who can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Someone who sees our destiny crowning before we do. Psalms 133 says that in this time of unity, there is a commanded blessing. Isaiah 30 and verse 15 says this, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. When the devil attacks your confidence, he's actually trying to attack your authority. When the devil attacks your confidence, he's trying to attack God's heart for us. As a minister, I've learned to stand with people over all kinds of situations. And I exhort them, the first thing that you need to do is you need to stay thankful. Amen. And trying to keep people in agreement with God's word and God's will can be a stretch at times. Are you listening? But standing with them in their marriages, Ecclesiastes 3 or 4 and 3 says that a threefold cord, actually chapter 4 verse 12, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Standing with people in their homes, Ephesians 6 verses 1 through 4. And I will say this about our homes. There's a lot of things that we can talk about in our homes, but I will say this about our homes. Our homes produce who our children are going to want to marry. And we need to learn how to stand in agreement with people concerning their homes, standing in agreement concerning their money. I will say this to you about money. Any type of cycle can be broken. You can come out of ruins and come into riches if you want to. Amen. I had the Lord speak to me and illuminate a revelation in me concerning money. And he told me that if you'll just be obedient to me, you'll never be broke another day of your life. I said, that sounds pretty good, Lord. Amen. You see, every one of us have an obligation to stay in God's word and to stay in prayer and to stay thankful before the Lord. Otherwise, it's always going to feel like we're trying to walk uphill or we're trying to find our way around a dark room. There are five different enemies to unity. A lack of shared purpose, poor communication, gossip, unresolved conflicts, sanctioned incompetence. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 6 says this, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they have purposed will be withheld from them. I encourage you. I think that what we need to do is we need to begin to be a little more thankful than sometimes I think we are. Amen. And I will tell you this, thankfulness will keep off of us a spirit called heaviness. Isaiah 61 and verse 3, God's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Derek Prince said this, that the spirit of heaviness will try and connect you with despair and keep you from faith. You know what despair will do? Despair will say, hey, look, just stay under the covers and stay there the rest of your life because life is not worth the living. Well, I've come to tell you something different. Because he lives, life is worth the living. Oh, amen. You won't give him a praise, give him a praise. Derek Prince went on to say this. He called the spirit of heaviness a spirit of depression. And I want to encourage you about something when it comes to, you know, things that we struggle with in our minds and in our wills and our emotions. Most people, what they do is they put it into a compartment and they stack stuff in a room. And how many realize that a room can only hold so much? And when that room gets full, then all of a sudden you begin to spill out. You begin to tilt a little bit. You begin to visit all kinds of different emotions. You see, I didn't know that I was going to visit these emotions with the spirit of grief trying to drag me away from the council of peace. And I almost killed a guy 2 weeks after my mom going to heaven. I mean, he was just saying this and he was just saying that. And how many realize that you can catch somebody, you can catch anybody at a bad season? Yeah, I don't lose my cool too often, but my son will tell you, when I blow, I blow. Dangerous. Amen. I'm glad I didn't have my gun with me that day. But anyways, my son, he couldn't hardly believe it. The week after my mom went to heaven, I was in church, and all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me, and I began to prophesy over the congregation. And my son was just looking at him, and he looked at Jody, and he said, how can Dad do that? I only was able to do that not because of how the condition that my soul was in. I was able to do that because of the condition of where my spirit was. And I want to encourage you, we've got to learn how to stay in agreement with God, exercising His principles that will keep our soul in subjection to the counsel of our spirit.
Amen.
And let me just say something to you. Before you think that nothing can actually happen to you when it comes to depression or anxieties or things of this sort, I want you to rethink that, okay? Because at the age of 37, what happened is I had a mental breakdown. I was under so much stress and pressure. I was dealing with so many different internal things when it came to how I was raised. See, most people don't realize that I came out of extreme alcoholism. My daddy was shot down in front of me when I was 11. I grew up, see, Pastor talks about poor, but we wrote the definition of poor. I'm talking about standing in welfare lines just to have some kind of, you know, powdered milk and governmental cheese and a little bit of tuna out of a can. Most people don't understand that. That's where I came from. And I had all this stuff internalized. And then I had pressures of life and marriage and finances and road stress and so on and so forth. And there came a time where I just blew. And if you don't think that it can't happen to you, please, that's a deception. What Christians need to learn how to do is they need to learn how to unpack some things. We've got to learn how to get rid of these angers and get rid of these anxieties and get rid of these hurts. And how many realize that as a born-again believer, you should be the picture of what joy looks like? But I've met some Christians that are just broken and bereaved and battered and bruised and they spend their whole Christian life in this type of condition.
Right.
Let me encourage you. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to have a root of bitterness. You don't have to have a criticism. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to be envious. You don't have to get into depressions and things of this sort. Friends, there's a better way out. Yeah. And the first step out is to begin to learn how to give God thanks in the midst of everything. There will come a time where you can't pray, you can't preach, you can't prophesy your way out of things, but you can always praise your way out of everything. Amen. Most people don't realize that Derek Prince suffered underneath a depression. I mean, chronic depression. Charles Spurgeon, a great theologian, a chronic depressant. And it was all because of what life, the mark that life left on them. What I want to encourage you to do is we can come out of the tragedies of our childhood. We can come out of the effects of divorce. We can move away from the discouragements of bankruptcies and failed businesses or whatever life is trying to define you to be. That is not who Jesus defines you to be. Amen. And most people don't understand that the second thing that leprosy attacks is your vision. You can always tell when somebody stops thanking God. It shows up in their confession. It shows up in the words that's coming out of them. The second thing that it attacks is our vision. It tries to rob us of our vision. You can always tell when somebody is not thanking the Lord, their vision gets affected. How many realize, friends, that when we stop being thankful before the Lord, what used to be clear and bright, now all of a sudden is dim and obscured. You see, there's an authority in expressed in our thanksgiving. In peace seasons, it's the joy of the Lord being your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. In troubled seasons, it's my trust in the Lord for an expected end. James 5:11. Peter was able to defy the elements of this life and walk on water because his vision was where it should be, on Jesus. Matthew 14:29. Being thankful allows us to see our way out of everything. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says this, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole or well. The vines describes this word. It's very interesting to me. It defines this word as meaning that if anything was missing, it came back.
Yeah. All right. Come on, bro. Yeah.
All right, Pastor just got that. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I said, if there was anything that was missing, the minute he started being thankful, it came back. I want to encourage you, you're one shout away from your breakthrough today. You're one revelation from your deliverance today. I got a feeling, my friends, that it's time to get our confession back. It's time to get our vision back.
Yes, sir.
I could be totally wrong about that. But being thankful aids and assists our ability to discern and see. Please hear me. Religion and poverty are twin sisters. Because they're constantly trying to rob from us. You see, in John chapter 9 and also in chapter 10, Jesus went in and ministered to a blind man. How many realize that when the man's eyes came open, the religious system said they wanted to find fault with the situation? Whose fault was this? Well, who cares? The guy's seeing. Right? I don't care where people have come from. I don't care what people have been through. The only thing that matters is that they see. And the minute we start being thankful is the minute that our vision starts to return to us. Are you listening? I want to encourage you. You see, in John 10 and verse 10, everybody wants to tag the devil with that. Well, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is not what Jesus is talking about. Nowhere in John 9, nowhere in John 10 does he refer to demons or demonic activity in any form. What he's referring to there is he says in verse 1 of chapter 10, he said, I'm the door. And if anybody tries to come into this thing any other way than through the door, they're nothing but a thief and a robber. What is he saying? He's saying that there was a system that will only bring you or allow you to come so far and get so close. And then it'll try and put a lid on you. But if you'll keep your eyes on me, I'll keep you going through door after door after door after door. And you'll not only receive your sight, but you'll also know what it means to be whole. Oh, somebody help me. I'm trying to get out of this introduction here. I want to encourage you. Matthew 21 and verse 14, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Matthew 9 and 28, two blind men were seen better than the scribes and the Pharisees. You know what they were saying? Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. How many realize that he was referring to, these two blind men were referring to his messianic state? They recognized him for who he was. The Christ incarnate, the Lamb of God, the Son of the living God. He's walking in our midst. The Word became flesh. And now we're experiencing the expression of His glory to bring us back to our original expression, His glory. Crying out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And these blind men, the Bible says, listen, the blind man says that... let me just reread it. Then the blind men and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. You see, I believe this. I believe that if we will come into his house to meet with him, he will open our eyes. If we will come into his house to meet with him, he will show up and he will show up in all kinds of capacities in our life. He'll start showing up in your prayer closet. He'll start showing up in your finances. He'll start showing up in your marriage. He'll start showing up in all kinds of capacities. Yeah. But all we have to do to get him to show up is to start being thankful. Come into this house. Listen, come when you come Sunday. Come into this house being thankful. Come into this house being grateful. Come into this house to meet with him. If you'll come and meet with him, oh, I feel a little old school in me. Meet with him in prayer, and he will meet you there. Just a little talk with Jesus will make it all right. I got a feeling that if we'll come into this church, Crystal River Church of God, Sundays and Wednesdays, whenever we gather here, if we'll come expecting to meet with him, God will show up and open our hearts and open our eyes, and we will see beyond the things that are trying to trip us up and keep us from what God has for our lives. Whatever you do privately is going to show up publicly. It's just the truth. Amen. This desire will start producing manifestations in all lanes of life. Most people don't understand this, that the strongest part of your DNA is recognized in your saliva. Yeah. All right, Mark chapter 8 and verse 23. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Let me encourage you. Let me just calm your heart. I'm not going to give an altar call to spit in people's eyes today. But this is the honest truth. At Darrellville, Kentucky, a lady was in the prayer line, and she said, I came for one purpose and one purpose only, for you to spit in my eyes. I said, well, okay. I'm going to give you a double portion then. But her eyes came open that night. We've just been basking in some wonderful things this year. We've seen 5 people get out of wheelchairs.
Hallelujah.
We're watching God take the paralysis of stroke off of people.
Glory.
All kinds of wonderful things are going on. And I'm convinced that when we begin, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm convinced that when we begin to discern this next season correctly, getting our souls free. You don't have to be an alcoholic. I've been there and done that. You don't have to be a drug addict. I've been there and done that. You don't have to be. Listen, you can own your own business. You can go to college. You can do whatever God has put in your heart, whatever it is. You're a trend maker.
Come on.
Are you listening? We can rise up and do. Amen. Jesus put one of the strongest parts of his DNA in his eyes. And I think that really the strongest part of his DNA is, of course, in his blood. But everybody in this room needs to understand that God desires for us to have ears to hear and eyes to see the truth about his word, to see the condition of this life without him in our life. Psalms 119, verse 105, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I'm grateful for that. Luke chapter 15, they illuminated a lamp. Lamps are symbolic to prophets. Prophets will come with revelation that will enable you to find wealth that's missing in your house. How many realize that that coin that was missing was already there? They just needed the right illumination to get it.
That's it.
Oh, amen. I want to encourage you. Isaiah 24, verses 6 through 8 will basically sum up this. The whole reason why the earth is under a curse is because men broke the ordinances of God and quit staying in the conditions that God required. Okay? You and I have a wonderful opportunity to exercise a very simple principle, being thankful before the Lord. You see, I tell you what, it could actually be drought ending in your life,
right?
To be honest with you. Oh, I'm doing good. I'm almost there. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. Elijah has prophesied and the heavens have been held up and they haven't released any rain for 3.5 years. Now all of a sudden God has got something ringing in his spirit. The scripture says that there is a sound. Oh, come on. What I'm trying to tell you is there is a sound. That sound today might be your willingness to be thankful. And your willingness to be thankful might release an abundance of rain. Your agreement with the right people. You can't just be in agreement with just anybody. But your agreement with the right people will all of a sudden be drought ending in your life. But you're going to have to persevere. To be able to see what somebody else hears, you're going to have to be willing to persevere. And I will tell you that if you can find victory in somebody's life that you need in your life, it's blessed assurance that God's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all.
Amen.
You just might have to be willing to go to the top of the mountain 5 different times before you see what you've been hearing. Are you listening? And what did he see? He didn't see much. You've got to be careful that you do not despise a small beginning. But I will encourage you, as soon as that door begins to crack open, as soon as there's a ray of light that's a little different than what's been influencing you, you can, blessed assurance, that door will swing wide open and the Lord of glory will come and begin to rescue us. Amen. I want to bypass all the symbolisms when it comes to that cloud being the size of a man's fist. I've heard it preached in all kinds of different ways. The fivefold ministry, the grace of God. But let me just prophetically spin it real quick if I have just a little bit of liberty. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the saints are symbolic to clouds. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17 says that Jesus is coming in the clouds. Oh, amen. Revelation 1 and 7 says that he's coming with the clouds. Can I encourage you? I understand that these two passages of Scripture speak of a future event in eschatology. But let me exhort you. If I am a great cloud of witness, I might need, somebody in my life might need Jesus coming through me. Somebody in my life might need somebody, Jesus showing up in somebody's life with me. You see, I exhort you, we've got to be sensitive not to bypass our assignments, whether it be at work or on the street corner or in church. Oh, amen. I don't want to be a cloud that doesn't have the ability to produce. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. A great man of God began to school me in a way that I'd never entertained before. His name was T.L. Lowry. And he said, Tim, he said, remember this. If you can't manifest the book, you need to sit down. That older gentleman, that statesman, got my soul all stirred up. I said, what's he talking about? And I began to seek the Lord, and I began to realize something. I began to realize that I had access to the inspiration that the Holy Spirit provides that inspired men to write the Bible. So as I stayed in that harmony, as I stayed in that cadence, as I stayed in that fellowship, I began to realize that I could actually operate in a word that he watches over to manifest and bring to pass. You got to understand something. I'm not here just to be here. I was here on Wednesday night, and this is what the Lord said to me. The Lord said, there's multiple people in this congregation that just need one simple thing. Somebody to stand with them. And as I was thinking this, as I was pondering this, I watched Becky. It was almost like she was in her Heisman moment. I stepped out of the aisle, and I about got ran over by that woman. And as I was leaving church, I was talking to people and fellowshipping. And as I was leaving church, I found her in the parking lot with her arms wrapped around somebody. Come on, man. And I began to realize, oh my God, she's hearing the same thing that I'm hearing. Come on. Are you listening? And you know what she told this woman? She said, I've been wanting to do this for weeks. Can I tell you something? I'm here to uncover you. I'm here to pull the veil back. I'm here to let you know that there are people in this house that are sensitive to where you're at. And what we need to do is we need to say, hey, look, I need you to stand with me. I need you to come into agreement with me. I need you to believe with me. Acts chapter 9 and verse 12. This is what God told Ananias as he was being sent to rescue Paul the apostle. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. I'll never forget it. I was in Wichita, Kansas last year. And I'm at dinner with my spiritual son. And he's reproduced our fathering ministry. And he's got a table full of spiritual grandchildren for me to speak into the lives of. And in comes this man, he's about 15 minutes late, and in comes this young man, and he sits right next to me. And all of a sudden, a dream that I had had 3 weeks before this event replayed itself. God had prepared me to be in the right place at the right time because the right person was coming into the picture. Becky acted in the right moment. Oh, I don't mind crying before you, okay, at all. But Paul saw help coming before it showed up. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, and I'll close. Here sits a man by the roadside begging. And can I encourage you today? We don't have to beg for what he's already done. His name was blind Bartimaeus. And he heard that Jesus was coming. Oh, somebody help me. How many realize that when Becky showed up in this woman's life the other night, it was assurance in this other woman's heart that Jesus had sent her. That Jesus had come with her. That Jesus was moving through her. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Blind Bartimaeus, the minute he heard that Jesus was coming, you know what he did? He began to cry out. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now everybody got a little uncomfortable with that. And they said, hey, you know what? Don't trouble him. Well, let me tell you something. Your situation, your trouble, your test, your trial is no problem for Jesus today. And the Bible says that as Jesus got closer, this blind man got louder. I said, as Jesus got closer, this blind man got louder. What I'm trying to tell you is this message is tailor-made for many in this house. Jesus is trying to draw close to you, and all you have to do is be willing to stand up and say, you know what? I just need one thing today. I need somebody to stand with me. I need somebody to believe with me. I need somebody to war with me. I don't want to feel like I'm on and in this thing by myself. And if that is you, if you need somebody to stand with you today, you need to jump to your feet right now. Jump to your feet. You might not be comfortable with this, but I want to encourage you. This, God's throwing you a lifeline today. You need somebody to believe with you. You need somebody to agree with you. You need somebody to war with you. You need somebody to be on your side and in your corner. Jump to your feet right now. Jump to your feet right now. Let me just tell you something. You folks have disrupted my sleep for 3 nights. I'm not going to leave you alone. I know what I know. And you know what? The Lord didn't lie to me about that either. Bishop, he cracks me up. He said, the Lord doesn't talk to me like he talks to some folk, but he sure don't lie to me like he lies to some folk. I know that I know that this is what God wants to say to the house. He wants you to be open to let somebody come and help you. If that's you, jump to your feet. Don't be ashamed. You might say, well, I feel intimidated about doing that publicly. Well, you know what? There's just certain things you got to get past. Blind Bartimaeus didn't get intimidated.
That's right.
Right. Do I got to get you, man? Do I actually got to get you? Why don't you stand to your feet, my friend? In fact, you come up here right now. I'm going to wrap my arms around you. I'm going to let you know I'm standing. I'm believing with you. And I will say this to you. The bondage in your life is short-lived. You keep coming to church. You keep coming in here wanting to meet with him. And he'll open your eyes. He'll open your heart. He'll keep causing his Zoe life to penetrate you. No. He says, I hope so. No. I know so. Amen. Listen. All these people that are on, you stay right there, my friend. Stay right there. Okay. We're connected at the hip now. Okay? Listen, everybody that's on their feet right now, can I do this? I want somebody in this congregation, look around you. Look around you and go to that person that's on their feet. It might be the first time that you do this. But we've got to start being sensitive. I can't pass you in the hallway and feel something and not want to say something to you. Somebody that's on their feet, get up. Listen, if you're in your seat, get up and go to somebody. Come on, coach. Come on, come here, coach. I'm going to put you in motion. You got all kinds of athletes that you put in motion. All right? Look at these two men back there. Go to those guys and wrap your arms around them and pray for them. Those two fellas right there. Yes. Go get them, coach. If somebody is on their feet and you are remotely close to them, go to them. Lay your hands on them. Pray for them. Believe God with them. Sometimes that's all it takes for somebody to go another day.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.